From the underground bunker of the Civitas Studio in Raleigh, North Carolina, it's Civitalk with your hosts, Brooke Medina and Ray Nothstein. We're here to connect culture with civics, making it relevant to your daily life. And dare we say, existence at a time where too many are triggered and offended. So, relax, but buckle up, and let's wade into the deep end of what's really happening in your old North State.
Welcome to another edition of Civic Talk. This is number 19, Brooke. We're going to talk about bad Christmas gifts. North Carolina 9, what is all the drama? What is all there? What is the outcome that we're going to see here in the next few months? Is it going to be decided by Election Day? Is there enough to overturn the election results? Evidence. We're going to talk Dale Falwell's proposal for the state health plan, how that's going to save North Carolina money, he claims. And we'll jump into the Democrat nominees for 2020. We can always have a little bit of fun with that, Brooke. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, doing very well. It has been quite the week of news. We have kind of kept ourselves plastered to that this week with regard to all the congressional district stuff happening in NC9. But before that, I think we need to talk about something very important.
Okay. Bad Christmas gifts? Is that what you're
wanting
to talk about?
That's exactly what I want to talk about. I think that's going to be a very fun topic. So let me know. Let me have it. What are some of the worst that you've heard of or received?
Well, just as a kid, I think it's different when you're grown up. But as a kid, I always hated getting socks, right? I mean, socks was one of those ones where you're just kind of like real big anticlimactic downer. I mean, who cares about socks if you're a kid? I mean, especially living in Hawaii and getting socks because you hardly ever wore socks over there. I just remember a few times getting socks and being like, what for?
Yes, I remember seeing the look on my son's face when a family member gave him underwear one year. I think it was his fourth birthday, actually. And he was just excitedly ripping open the packaging. And then all of a sudden he sees the underwear and his shoulders just like slumped down and he looks so dejected. Poor, poor thing.
Yeah, that's harsh kind of to a kid. I mean, maybe you let him open that up later at a later date or something. I mean, it just doesn't seem right for Christmas morning.
Yeah, that's true. I tend to agree. But so I actually asked a few of my Facebook friends about the worst Christmas gifts they've ever received, and I got some fun comments. One of them was actually your wife.
It doesn't surprise me.
No, but you shared this story a few weeks ago anyway.
I think it was
the
last
man
week
bag.
Or 2 weeks
She's not going to let you forget that.
No. And she actually refused the gift and basically said I had to send it back. So, I think I had
so
to pay
funny.
The shipping. I bought it from somewhere where I had to pay the shipping to send it back.
You've
to.
Got a woman that knows what she wants, Ray. So rejoice in that.
Yeah, that's true. She does know what she wants. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. So I have
a blessing. It really is because you don't have to guess a lot in the marriage. You don't have to, you know, it's not one of those ladies that you're trying to constantly guess with. Kelly knows what she wants and she's willing to tell you.
That's great. I can appreciate an assertive woman. I want my daughters to be that way too. One of my friends said that her husband received a gift card from his brother that had a balance of 11 cents on it. And then another year he got a gift card that was only activated if you signed up for their long distance service.
Wow.
From the same brother.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of gift cards only because then I feel an obligation to go there. You know, maybe I'll get a Home Depot gift card or Lowe's. And I don't go to those places a ton. And so when I get those, I'm like, yeah, I got to figure out what I'm going to get. And I don't really know. And I'm not good, like my wife, at picking out stuff sometimes.
Yeah, well, on the note of gift cards, I've got a story to share. And although I did say a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, that my husband is a very good gift giver, by and large, he is. But there was one year, the poor man. Well, poor me.
Yeah.
I was the one that I was the one that should be offended. He decided it was actually for my birthday. I rip open my birthday card from him. And first off, he usually doesn't get me a birthday card. It's more like, just here's a big gift. Yay.
Yeah.
I open it up and out drops a Dunkin' Donuts gift card for about
$5. That's
kind of exciting.
And
then a 4-piece chicken nugget gift card at Chick-fil-A. And so it was like a freebie that Chick-fil-A manager had given him.
That's pretty funny.
So wrong. And yeah, as good of a gift giver, I looked at him and I kind of glare like, what the heck? And he's like, well, babe, you wanted us to save money this year. I'm like, that's not what I meant. I meant we would get you a lower grade birthday gift,
right.
Not me. So
that's funny.
Anyway,
you know what I do want to get? This is off topic, but I kind of want to get a treadmill.
Oh.
Yeah. I think that would be exciting.
Do people really use those after like the first 6 months?
I've been thinking about this for years. I totally would use it. We're hopefully building a garage at our house soonish, and we could put it above the garage. And I'm really excited about it because, you know, when it's cold out, I'd like to go running or something and get in shape. I talk about that all the time. I do like doing just walking and listening to things. I like to walk, and sometimes it's not always convenient to walk outside or even just go to the gym. Sometimes it's not convenient. You don't hop in your car. So I think I definitely would use it. So if anybody knows any good treadmills out there, please recommend them, because mm-hmm. I will actually look into it, and I'd be pretty serious about getting one. It may not happen in the next 3 to 4 months, but beyond that, I'm definitely serious about it, and I've kind of been just started doing a little bit of research.
Yeah, well, there are some really cool treadmills out there, too.
Yeah, I don't want to spend $10,000 or something.
Oh, but if I get a treadmill, I want, like, the premium treadmill, because... I don't know. They look just so cool. They do so much. It's almost like they lose the weight for you,
right,
and get you in shape for you. I don't have to do anything. I could just watch, I don't know, Netflix, The Office reruns or something on Netflix while I just stand there and just move one leg in front of the other. It sounds good, but only the really nice ones.
Yeah, and as a practical aside, with two small kids, it's hard to just leave and maybe go to the gym or do something. You got to help out. Although being on the treadmill probably is not going to help out a lot with the kids, but.
They would have fun.
It's something
on it.
I've been thinking about for a number of years that I would like to get. So mm-hmm. I'm serious about it.
Cool. Well, I think that it would probably be a good investment then. If you know you're going to use it, you're the kind of person that would be inclined to use it, then I'm sure I've got a friend that has one and they do use it regularly, just like that at-home gym that they have. I mean, they're lifting weights regularly. So hats off to them, because there are some people that utilize it. I just don't think I'm one of them.
I think one of the lamest gifts, maybe not the lamest, but one I've never really quite got is, you remember, I think it was big in the 80s and maybe early 90s, getting a star named after you, right?
I don't think that's lame.
This is sad. My grandpa was so proud that he got this star named after him. I think it was like $80 or something, or maybe it was something like that. And I just remember thinking, nobody knows that. Nobody cares. I mean, yes, you have this piece of paper from this like fraudulent, you know, fly-by-night company or something that says the star's named after you, but I don't know. I just never got into it. I don't think that's a big deal.
I actually would like a gift like that. Really? I think that, yes, I don't know why, but there's another gift that I've been seeing advertised on Twitter a lot lately, and it's historical letters sent in the mail to you. So there, you can pick a genre of history, whether that's Civil War history, mm-hmm. founding documents, and then they will send you letters, like reproductions of letters written by influential people during that period, and they'll send you like 2 a month, and so you can
that's
just get
a reproduction though. That's not
yeah, I mean, I'm sure you would pay
you
a lot
find
of money
on the
if
internet
it...
or something.
Right.
I know.
Man,
see,
what a
smart.
Debbie Downer.
I'm just smart and a critical thinker.
No, you just don't like good gifts. That's what it is.
It just doesn't sound like, I mean, if you can go find it on the internet, it's not that unique. You know, you're getting a reproduction.
But
it's
you're like getting it in the mail. And I don't know, maybe it's one reproductions that aren't as accessible online.
I think you have to have more of like a childlike spirit, I think, to enjoy it, which you do have.
I have a
good.
Are you calling me? Are
you
calling me
a
big baby?
A
childlike spirit. Thank you, Ray.
Doesn't Christ call us to be like a kid? Be like the little children?
Yes, let the little children come to me. And Brooke, too. Oh, man. So, well, okay. Let's go ahead and dive on into NC9 stuff. Do you want to update people on what's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, we thought that for sure Mark Harris had won that race by, I guess after a week of recounts, it was 905 votes was the final tally. And now, because of these allegations of elections fraud, with the operative, I forgot the operative's name, but
his name is McCray Dowless.
Yeah,
and
McCray
so,
Dowless, and he's been involved in some of these shenanigans for over a decade, I believe.
Okay.
In that area, and here's the thing that I think that kind of troubles me a little bit is, you know, allegedly he's going to houses, he's picking up,
or he's sending other people to do this.
Yeah, he's sending other people to go pick up absentee ballots that have either been incompletely filled or not completely filled out. They've maybe filled out a couple of races. They haven't filled it out at all. And so they're just handing over the ballots. One lady was on the news claiming she got $100 for her ballot. So, I mean, this has got to be looked into more. And it looks like that there's obviously some kind of problem. I guess one of my main concerns is there going to be enough evidence to have a redo on an election? Because I'm not so sure about that. I mean, there's been a lot of crazy sort of contested elections that are certified and that the person goes to Congress and maybe something comes up later that is a little bit more substantial. But as of right now, I'm not sure there's quite enough to call for a new election. Of course, I'm not against them doing more hearings and finding out and producing some of this evidence. It'll be interesting to see what happens in North Carolina 9 because the vote was so close and there's these allegations of wrongdoing. It's kind of interesting to me that, you know, we get called, there's no sort of election fraud or voter fraud. And this is a little bit, I think, different than voter fraud, because you have some operatives that are involved that are going to houses and doing these shenanigans. But I would love to see kind of how this shakes out, I guess, and who is doing what. Are both parties involved? Because look, a lot of times when there's shenanigans going on, whether you go to New Jersey, you go to Louisiana, you know, two infamous states for corruption and politics, usually both sides are doing a lot of the shenanigans. This is not just one party. And, you know, there's been questions about McCrory losing.
In Bladen County
as
well.
Yeah, losing in Bladen County, which he won easily on election night 4 years ago, but he lost the absentee ballots. And so there's been some allegations. And he put forward this year, a couple years ago, that, you know, there was a lot of problems with some of the absentee ballots. And people scoffed at that at the time. Democrats scoffed at it at the time. So,
yeah, the Democratic Party scoffed at it at that time. But this go around, they are actually asking for a full public investigation, yeah, or public, a lot of transparency. I actually wrote something on this at nccivitas.org called Uncertainty Looms Over the Harris-McCready Race. And that was a few days ago. Since then, there has been a major update, which is the North Carolina Board of Elections chair, who is kind of Andy overseeing Penry. This investigation, has resigned, which Republicans, including Charles Helwig, the GOP chairperson, was calling for his resignation, as well as several others. The North Carolina GOP was as well, because Andy Penry has been extremely partisan on his Twitter account.
He's
a
called
public figure.
Trump a despicable person.
Yeah, so he's
other comments like that.
He's made numerous partisan comments, as well as even coming out kind of hinting at his position on the amendments that were on the ballot this past November. Right. And so that's not becoming of a public figure in a public forum like that.
Not with his job description.
Not with his
I mean,
job.
If he had been a state senator or state congress, you know, state legislator, then, you know, you could just kind of frown at that a little bit. But no, not in the position that he's in.
Yeah, so he just resigned. However, there is a lot of uncertainty still looming over what's happening here in this Harris-McCready race, because it did seem that Harris had won, albeit by a narrow margin of 905 votes. Nonetheless, this calls into question the ethics, whether or not this was election fraud by third-party players that were employed by the Harris campaign.
Right.
So there could be another election. The North Carolina Board of Elections and Ethics actually has the capacity and the authority to make that call. Whether or not they choose to do so is another story. However, given the narrow margin that Harris won, I think it's within the realm of possibility.
I think it's definitely within the realm of possibility. I think Nate Silver had a piece up saying it was a toss-up that there would be a new election, 50-50, basically. So it's definitely within the realm of possibility. I do think more evidence, and, you know, you can always produce some forms of evidence, but I think they're going to have to produce a little bit more credible evidence for me, at least for me personally, to say, oh, okay, you know, it's okay to call a new election. Because calling a new election is rare in politics. It's very rare. It's rare in North Carolina. It's rare across the country for something like that to happen. And I can't think of a specific example recently where that's been done. I'm sure it's out there. There may be someone who knows North Carolina a little bit better than I can, at least for a congressional race. I can't think of one nationally either where a new election was called. Usually this stuff sorts itself out. Usually they certify the vote, even sometimes when there may be a little bit of doubt cast upon the election, because both people know that both sides do it and they don't want to blow the whistle too much and uncover things that are more unsavory, mm-hmm, what's going on. So I think that's an important aspect of all of this is, because we're so divided now, there's probably not going to be any compromise.
Yeah, well, this whole midterm was just really exceptional when it comes to accusations, whether it was the right. Georgia race with Stacey Abrams saying that the vote was, or that election was stolen, McSally and the Arizona one.
Cinnamon McSally.
Yeah, so that one, obviously the Gillum DeSantis one in Florida. There have just been a lot of big elections this go around that have been under further examination than typical. So I don't know what's going on. It's pretty interesting. So hopefully there is an investigation that will bring the truth to light, whatever that is. I know in 2016, some Republicans called for an investigation in the same district for something very similar. It so happens that the News and Observer, in their article in 2016, cited or quoted the guy that's currently under investigation now, and that guy was trying to throw the flag on the Democrats.
Yeah, there's a lot of back and forth.
So it's there's a lot of history that we're just now getting caught up on that's been going on in the Bladen County area for a while, it seems. And so we're trying to make sure that we understand the whole context of it.
But before you start throwing out, you know, it's got to be this way or that way, I think you've got to let some of the facts come to light. I think it's just, to me, it's a problem because I don't have a real deep trust right now in the board, you know, the elections board in the state. And I think, you know, there's just too many partisan mouths in the ring right now.
Yeah. I think it's problematic.
And the new guy, from my understanding, that Cooper is appointing is just as partisan as Andy Penry.
Yeah, well,
I can't remember his name. He's an attorney in Charlotte.
Even the unaffiliated voter, the Board of Elections and Ethics is comprised of 9 members, and 4 are supposed to be Republican, 4 Democrat, 1 unaffiliated, all appointed by the governor. And the one unaffiliated, who is Damon Sercosta, he's actually in our Mapping the Left database. And he has, so even though you can be unaffiliated, I'm an unaffiliated voter, you still have a slant. You still have policy preferences. Sure. That's just the way it is. We are, we have preferences as human beings. And the important thing, though, regardless, is to be fair and just and want the truth to come out, whether or not it benefits your party or not. That's what integrity is about. And so we need confidence in our elections board so that we know that they're actually pursuing this with integrity and that they would treat it the same way, even if the roles were reversed and it was a Democrat that had won. So anyways, we probably better move on, though, because we do want to talk about what Treasurer Falwell, Dale Falwell, has been up to lately. And he released a press release not too long ago, and he is going after, he's trying to improve the state employee health plan, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's underwater. It's losing money. And so Falwell just put out this plan basically to increase transparency with the state health care plan. It's going to allow the state to view the costs of services that are rendered in health care. They don't now.
Gasp.
They don't now. It's just, you know, there's agreed upon prices between Blue Cross Blue Shield and the hospitals, and then the state is billed for that. This new plan that Falwell wants to put forward is just creates access. And I think, from my understanding, it increases the, you know, there's a Medicare threshold. They're above that by like 77 cents on the dollar on that Medicare threshold. So it does, you know, it's not anything like, you know, they're going to underbill you like Medicare, Medicaid does. But it does, create transparency for the state of North Carolina. And I think that's what you have to do when you have taxpayers bilking out so much money for the state employer plan. And they're really the people that Falwell is trying to protect here. And I think he's doing a good thing. You know, one of the criticisms that's come, and I can't remember who made this quote, but it's some special interest group saying he's taking a hatchet, you know, to a small problem that they could solve on their own. You know, he just wants to chop everything up. But I don't think Blue Cross and Blue Shield has said one way or the other. They said they want to work with Falwell. They want to work with the state in terms of decreasing costs. And so
it was the UNC healthcare system that refused to give him the prices. They said that was a a private agreement between
The insurer,
them and Blue Cross and Blue Shield, which is fascinating given that it's public money going to pay for this.
Yeah, so that's the big debate. And I think one of the other concerns is it's going to, you know, some of these hospital CEOs and some of these folks that run the hospital says it's going to impact their bottom line when it comes to helping patients in need that don't have insurance, that are basically charitable cases at the hospital, where, you know, if you're a hospital that receives federal money, then you have to take charitable, you know, patients from time to time. So that's another issue that they're saying that's going to cut into their bottom line and their ability to do charitable medicine.
Mm-hmm. Well, just in North Carolina, this is from a recent article at the Carolina Journal written by Dan Way, and he unpacks this a little bit more, trying to find the title of it here. But it's called Falwell Says Hospitals Want to Derail Healthcare Transparency Measures. And so that's really at the heart of this is transparency.
Yep.
Because in North Carolina, we already spend $3.4 billion a year in taxpayer money for state employees and retiree healthcare. Additionally, we owe $30 billion for long-term healthcare costs, and we don't even know what we're supposed to pay for medical services. That's a problem. How are we able to negotiate? Well, this is the thing. With so much of government is this this willingness to pay above and beyond what anyone else in their right mind would ever pay, because there's so much bureaucracy. You're not dealing with your own money. And if you don't spend the money as a bureaucrat, then you won't get it appropriated to your sector the next year and things like that. So this is it seems like an honest effort to make sure that the healthcare system is accountable to taxpayers and that they're actually getting taxpayers the best deal possible while providing state employees with the best healthcare possible. And but it seems like which association is against this? The Hospital Association, the NC Healthcare Association. They say that they're committed to working with Treasurer and the General Assembly, but it seems like they're also promoting some legislation that might actually thwart Treasurer Falwell's efforts to find some transparency.
He's really been a bulldog about trying to save the state money and get us into a clear picture of where our budgeting options need to be going forward. So I definitely commend him for that. I think he has the right idea here. I mean, just my instinct looking at it. If you're a state employee and you're worried that, oh, well, maybe I'm going to lose access to my doctor, I think there's no way that's going to happen because the state healthcare plan is so big. They have so much leverage and so much ability to receive access. I don't think that's going to be an issue at all. I know that some people have tried to plant that seed out there, but that's not going to be so. You're not going to lose access to the healthcare that you have now or any of the doctors that you're you have an ability to see now. So I don't think that's an issue, but it'll be interesting to watch how this shakes out. I know there's legislation to stop Falwell from doing this. And I don't know exactly how popular that is in the General Assembly right now. I'm sure that there are a lot of lawmakers that are cautious in hearing from people on this issue, but it'll be interesting to see how aggressive Falwell is in pushing this. And I think he's obviously going to be aggressive. I mean, he's been doing it for a while. So anything that creates transparency in government, I think, is a good thing. And it'll bring costs down. That transparency will force costs to go down. It will allow the state to see what they're spending on these services and plan accordingly.
Yeah. Once people actually realize the price tag of things, they become a lot more discriminating in a good way for what they're going to actually purchase and what they decide is maybe something that's an extra that would be nice to have. I think about this even when sometimes I will go to those timeshare tours. And it's always fascinating to me because I always go for the free stuff. Like you could get a $200 Visa gift card sometimes or Disney World tickets. But they always try to hide these extra costs from you. And we've never purchased a timeshare. And I tell them up front at the beginning, I'm like, you incentivized me to come. I'm happy to see. But just to give you the heads up, we're not in the market for one. And just to see the verbal gymnastics that they go through and the hoops they go through to try to hide some of the extra costs from you. Same with car dealerships. But I think that this is one way and one important step that as a whole state we can go toward providing people with good care while still having good transparency. Because I wouldn't be going to Target and going grocery shopping and not knowing what I was paying for my milk and my eggs.
Yeah, absolutely. And Trump, one of his big proposals on healthcare is he wants to create more transparency. He wants doctors' offices and medical facilities to list out their prices. This is what this costs. If you need to have a lung transplant, this is what it costs. I mean, we put it down on paper. And I think that does create some more market incentives for competitive pricing out there. So
absolutely.
It's a first step in what is a crazy, crazy healthcare, the rising costs in healthcare. It's $100 per month for a family of four every month, the healthcare costs.
Even education's more transparent than healthcare, say. And those costs are massive.
It's just so complex. Healthcare is complex. And people don't know what they're paying because if they have insurance, they don't think about it. Mm-hmm. And they're not willing to shop around. But, there should be more of that. There should be more transparency.
Absolutely. But hey, let's talk 2020. I know some people are like holding their head and they don't even want to think about 2020 already. But then there's the rest of us.
Yeah, it's so early to talk about. But these candidates are already going to Iowa and sucking up. So,
that's so then we need to talk about tradition. It. So what are some of your predictions? Who do you think is going to be on the Democratic ballot?
Oh, there's just so many. I don't think, to name them all, Kamala Harris, possibly Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, Bernie, I think, may run again. There's talk of Beto O'Rourke running. There's talk of Joe Biden running. I think Biden probably will run. There's other folks I know I'm forgetting that I just off the top of my head, but
Ocasio-Cortez? You think she's like Congress was just chump change and she really wants to go for the
probably
presidency?
Probably not. I think
she's
she'll probably spend some time in.
She's not old enough to.
You have to be 35. Is she 29?
Yeah, she's not 30 yet.
So You have to be 35, I believe, Brooke.
Right. I mean, she's not even in her 30s, is what I meant by that.
Anyways, it'll be a crowded field. There'll be some people. I know that someone has already declared. I don't remember his name. Is more of a minor figure. So there's going to be a lot of folks in there. I'm excited about it just to see sort of the hoopla. And, you know, because Trump reacts to so much, he's going to make fun of him and give him nicknames. And it'll be interesting how much he pays attention to him in the beginning. So it'll be fascinating. I mean,
Do you think he'll ramp up the rhetoric to those that he feels most threatened by, or is he looking for soft targets?
I think he'll look for soft targets. Okay. Trump's kind of smart that way. At least he's got great political instincts. Whatever you think about Trump, I mean, to the way he took out a crowded Republican field in 2016, I was just shocked by the way he did that so quickly and at ease. And part of that is because Washington was so unpopular at the time. But still, I mean, it took his political instincts and bravado to do that so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think Biden will have a lot of credibility. He was Obama's vice president. I mean, I'm old enough to remember Biden running in 1988. He was not popular. He got in trouble for plagiarizing. I don't remember if it was a law thesis or parts of a book. I think it was a law thesis, but he got in trouble for plagiarism. And that's never really come up again. It was a big issue back then. I think it was an issue that kind of submarined his campaign back in 1988. So it'll be fascinating to see who kind of emerges. I mean, the superdelegates now are lower. I mean, obviously Hillary doesn't have control of the DNC. So even if I don't think she'll run, but if she decided to run, I think she's just throwing her name out there to just be in the media and promote her tour. She's going on tour with
Bill.
Yeah, it's not doing very well. I know that the tickets are being slashed.
I feel like that is the Clinton empire is just this collapsing thing right now.
Yeah, they still
like,
have a lot of loyal followers.
They still have influence. They have money. They've got the Clinton Foundation. They were so well connected. But I think for the younger voters that are coming up as they begin to become more mature, I just don't see the influence of the Clintons having the same hold that they have historically. However, that could change. I think that there is some talk or consideration of Chelsea entering the political scene.
How old are you? They've been talking about Chelsea for years doing that, and she backed out. She was going to run for a congressional seat in New York. Might have been her mother's seat, and no one wanted her.
You never know.
I mean, maybe they're trying to work on her, but she has more of her mom's likability, I feel like, than Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And you're old enough probably to remember Clinton's campaign in 1992, I'd assume. I mean, that guy was a great campaigner. He had a lot of just people skills, the way he could work a crowd. And I don't think Chelsea has the skills that her dad once had at one time. Mm-hmm. And so I see her more as having sort of Hillary's, for lack of a better word, her shrill and some of the things that I think turn people off to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So most viable candidate for the Democratic Party in 2020, are you thinking Biden then?
I think so. Democrats don't like doing redos, and I know that he's run before. He was vice president. So they may want to go for someone younger. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if O'Rourke, he's this messianic figure in the Democratic Party, if he decides to run, I wouldn't shock me if he won the nomination. And
so I have a friend who's guessing that it's going to be a Biden-Beto ticket.
I think that's a decent guess, but I would say that I don't know if Biden is able to secure that nomination, because I think that Trump, is he going to be, they're all going to be angry at Trump, and they're going to need more than that. But I'm fascinated to see if Biden can lock it up with a lot of more hard left activists in there who is going to excite the base and may be able to like foam in at the mouth about Trump more than even he can.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think either way, the far left activists, when it comes down to it, I think they would vote for him as long as it got rid of Trump.
I think that they're going to try to be targeted in some ways in trying to get rid of Trump. But Biden, I mean, before Obama, Biden was a senator in Delaware that was popular with his constituents, but had always failed at the presidential level. And when he ran in, he had run a couple times. He had run and people forget he had run again in 2008 when Obama was running, and Obama ended up picking him as VP, but he had no traction in the primaries at all. Mm-hmm. So it'd be interesting to see if his 8 years as vice president translates to actual votes in the Democratic primaries.
Yeah, how he brands himself, I will be interested in seeing because I think he would need to carve out angry
Joe Biden a little bit. That's sort of not going to take it anymore. And he's going to have to channel some of that Democratic anger, which I think he has the ability to do. But it'll be fascinating to watch if he can actually pull coalitions together and peel off, people on the hard left that may be more apt to support a Kamala Harris and who may be able to even fundraise a little better than he does.
Well, interesting thoughts and predictions, Ray. I appreciate your insight on that. You always have a good knowledge base to draw from on that. But with that, we are at the end of our show.
About done, I think.
Thank you guys so much for joining us this week. If you have a question or comment, feel free to send us an email at radio@nccivitas.org. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.